We pray that as you listen to one of our amazing team bring the Word of God, you are encouraged and challenged, and that your faith is stirred. To get in touch or for more information about us as a church, head to libertychurchuk.com.
Good morning. Wow, there's so much. I really feel like God is saying to us, to you're going to have to move out of your comfort zone. And I was going to speak and preach this word last week, but it is timely and it's for this week, because sometimes I think, depending on how you're wired and the type of person you are, when somebody says jump out of the boat, you jump out before actually processing a little bit what you're going to jump into. And there is faith. But I think what Phil said was key. If Jesus is not calling you to get out of the boat, please don't get out of the boat. Because I've seen a lot of Christians do a lot of things because they think Jesus said, or he might have said, or they change circumstances or that. And in the end, 6 months later or a year later, they're realizing, or 5 or 6 years later, they think, actually, I didn't actually hear from God on that. And so this morning, I really want to unpack 5 things for you that I feel like... And you can use a numerous amount of stories in the Bible. We could use this journey of Nepal. It has been a bit quicker than I thought it would be. But these 5 principles would apply to what I'm going to speak to today on how, just to help you hear from God and actually make sure in the journey that you're going for that it is a God thing. Sometimes we won't know 100%. You know, somebody said to me, are you 100% God called you to lead Liberty Church? I think I would be a little bit arrogant if I said that. Different things came together, and I believe in my heart. And history proves that actually God wanted to plant this church. But there is a massive step of faith, because like Phil said, sometimes you look at the surface you're going to stand on, and water is not really going to hold you. But actually, we've got to believe in the one who created the water, because that's a greater miracle. The greater miracle is the one who created it, not actually the water in front of you. And you know, the truth is that God does want you to step out. The truth is that God loves you. The truth is God is going to bring you through some of the circumstances you're going through if you submit to Him and hand them to Him. But that truth only becomes your truth when you actually have to walk through it. Sometimes you hear truth and you're like, this is truth. We'll really see if it's truth when we actually have to walk through it. That's when truth truly becomes truth. Because it says knowing the truth sets you free. Knowing it is actually you taking it, applying it, and having to walk through it in principle. So let me share with you these 5 things, and we're going to go on a bit of a journey. You can open your Bibles to Judges chapter 6 if you have them. If you don't, go on your phone or whatever. But, Jodes, won't you put, no, first, can you put up the first one, please? Just my notes, just the 5 things. Cool. Next one over. Awesome. Okay, 5 things I want you to just take a note of, and you can write these down as headings, and we'll unpack them. That I really believe that God comes in sort of 5 ways to impress upon your hearts of what He wants to do. And you can ignore these at your peril. I know I have, and I've ended up in hot water in some situations, and sometimes years down the line, because we want to people please. We want, sometimes we get bored with where we are, depending how you wired, and you want some type of new adventure. You actually kind of talk yourself into change instead of actually, God, what are you saying about it? But God puts these things in place, number one, to protect His people. Because if you try and birth something out of timing, there is a chance you'll birth an Ishmael. And I don't want to birth Ishmaels, I want to birth Isaacs. Because I want to birth God's promises, not something that I think should be His promise, because I get a bit disgruntled in the circumstances that I'm sitting in. But when he wants to protect His people, and it's not complicated, it's about hearing from Him, but it requires trust, it requires submission, it requires obedience, and it requires us to take our eyes off ourselves. So it touches our pride, and it touches our dependency on me, myself, and I, the unholy Trinity. But 5 things, the Word. Have you, in your circumstance, for what you are going to journey into, or what you believe God's saying, have you received the Word from God? You say, what type of word? Well, there's a logos word and a rhema word. Sometimes the rhema will come through while reading the logos. The logos is a general word of God. But you need a word from God, because I promise you this, if you haven't got a word and the tough moments come, you will have nothing to stand on. There is a word of God of why this church exists. There is a word of God of why the church in Nepal will exist. There is a word of God why we do what we do. There needs to be a word. And you better make sure there is a word, because I've also heard lots of believers go, oh, there's a word. And then suddenly that word is nowhere to be found. We forget about it. There's no direction. And we come back and go, well, I don't know really what I'm standing on. That word will bring you vision. It will help you when you think, oh man, I'm going to turn to the right or to the left. No, this is where we're going. You need a word, but don't just pray to God for a word. There's the prophetic that comes. We as a church, we believe in the prophetic. Prophetic confirms what God is speaking to you. Be careful when somebody comes and goes, all of a sudden, we had a team once and we went down to a conference in London, and the musicians were up on stage, and suddenly this guy got up and he claimed to be a prophet, and he's suddenly telling the keyboardist that they're now going to be a saxophonist or whatever you call it, and suddenly they're going to write albums in the next 6 months, and suddenly and suddenly and suddenly, and I'm like, whoa, this is not the Spirit of God, because there's young guys on this stage of 15, 16, not on this stage particularly, impressionable. And all of a sudden their heads are gone, because now they're going to write an album for Jesus, he added at the end. And I had to quickly go up there and say, hang on a second. Number one, you are not the leader of these guys. They're under my care. So bring that word first here, because I understand where these guys are. And number two, that is not from the Lord. And so these poor young guys, they did not write an album. They never were going to write an album, but there have been prophetic words that have come into my life and into lives that, of your life, that actually we have forgotten. Can I ask you, dig out the prophetic words that God has placed on your life. If somebody speaks one, write it down. If you've heard it, record it. I love when Gary Morgan comes, and he doesn't get everything 100% all the time, but he says, Heath, give me your phone. And every time he gives me a word, he pushes record on the phone, so I have it all the time. What prophetically has God spoken over you, or what words have come in this time? You need to know what those are. Where's the peace of God? If there's no peace, don't go. There's no peace, don't move. You can be in the middle of the storm and still have peace. You need to know that the peace of God is in this place. Who's your counsel been? We have a church family for a reason. We have leadership for a reason. We have mothers and fathers in the faith for a reason. Not so that I can just go and make my own decision, but I bring my decision in submission to those who are looking after me and those that are around me. Why? Because of my protection. Because on my own, I tell you what, church, I would have killed us by this point. I honestly would have. We would have been doing 50,000 things. Everybody been all over the place. I wouldn't have waited all this time to plant Nepal. Ah, forget it. Let's just do it. Because I know that I'm wired in a certain way. The Bible says in a multitude of counselors, there is wisdom. Circumstance. Circumstance is often what we build on, but it's the last thing we should look at. It's like this. I love this about circumstance. I walk, young girls praying, saying, oh, Lord, give me a husband, give me a husband. Let the next man I meet be my husband. My gosh, suddenly an 80-year-old guy walks past you. He's like, boom, there it is. Okay, go for it now, because circumstance said. Lord, if I do this, then you do that, then that must mean. Be careful with circumstance. The enemy can orchestrate circumstance. So don't use circumstance as your biggest indicator. That confirms it is part of it, but actually, what is God saying on this situation? Don't manufacture a word. Don't make up a word. Ask God. Can I promise you what will happen is if it's the right thing, there will be a confirmation from other people. There absolutely will be a confirmation. When I arrived in Dubai in 2014, I knew nobody. I knew anything at all. I sat in a chair in a room with a bunch of guys. I think, who the heck are you? Guy gets up. It was Gary Morgan. Never met him. He says, listen, my son, what God has put in your heart is what you're called to do. Build, plant, and establish. Okay. I know. And word after word comes. But we are sometimes making decisions that are messing up our own lives and messing up the body of Christ because we're not prepared to go through the process that God has placed in place. Judges chapter 1, watch this. Let's see how far we get in the next 25 minutes. Judges chapter 1, the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. Here's a bunch of people not listening again to what God is saying. Often it's not about God's provision, what he's got. It's not about his faithfulness. It's not about all the promises. Yes, amen. Those things are sorted. It's often about us. Us not listening. Me, Heath, I don't listen. I am stubborn at times. I say, no way. I think I heard slightly differently, but I know in my spirit I didn't hear differently. Yesterday we had some of the team together and we were talking about our emotional health, and we did this kind of survey and answered some questions. And honestly, I did the survey and some of the things that came out was like, ooh, I'm struggling a little bit. I'm an emotional adolescent in some places. In one place, I'm a child. You know, and how do I admit this to you? You know, I'm meant to be leading. I actually was an adult out of 7 sections in one place. Do you know what I wanted to do after I did the first time I went through the survey? I wanted to do it again and just slightly alter my answers. But who am I kidding? Who am I kidding? Not Jesus. You maybe, because you maybe think a bit better of me. But actually, I know where I'm at. I know where I'm at. But it's our obedience. And this group of people find themselves, God says there, I'm handing you over to these people. Not to destroy you, but actually so in the hope that you come back towards me. When the father let his son go and say, you can take your inheritance, it wasn't to destroy the son. It was in the hope that he had actually come to his senses and come back. In the hope that you return to the father. In the hope that your heart comes back. God is for you. He's not against you. He doesn't make bad things happen to you. But sometimes he lets us walk in the muck we create because we come back to our senses. We come back to our senses. When you go home today, you can read the whole of Judges chapter 6, but I just want to pick out a few things. Let's go to, it's like story time this morning, but let's drop down to verse 11. And there's this kind of, the scene is set, it's not great, it's the struggle that's taking place. People are in this captivity. They don't want to kind of be there. But here's verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Orpah, which belonged to Joash the Abizarite. That is good. Well read, Heath. While his son Gideon threshed wheat in a wine press in order to hide it from the Midianites. Oh. Do you know when you're in the wrong places sometimes you're going to have to hide things? These people had to hide things because of their disobedience so they could sustain who they were, nourishing wise. They had to do it in secret. God doesn't want us to do his secret. When you've got the things of God on your heart, he's like, just do them. So my name can be glorified. But they find themselves in this situation. Through sin, disobedience, the Israelites found themselves in an oppressed place. Constantly under siege. Their enemies killing them, taking their livestock, impoverished. Why? Because they did not listen. Verse 10 says, don't fear their gods, but you have not obeyed my voice. This is the Lord speaking. And here's Gideon hiding in his work. Why? Because the people didn't listen. My failure to listen will impoverish those around me. Church, this is serious as believers. I'm speaking to myself. My failure to listen will impoverish not just me, but those around me. When I knowingly, sometimes we don't know, Bible says we'll be called to account for what we know. When I knowingly walk against what God is saying, when I knowingly do my own process, we can't come back and go, well, Lord. No, actually, Heath, you did that. You walked, sunshine. You did something. What's incredible about the grace of God, and we'll see it, is that in every moment, God is willing to say, come on, there's a way back. There is a way back. But have you ever done something that you know you shouldn't do and you know that you've got to say sorry and not just say sorry, but actually repent to that person and say, what's got to die? Your pride. Your pride has literally got to take a bad step and you've got to go in humbleness and say, do you know what? Do you know what? And you might get it wrong again. But hopefully we get a little bit better at it. But God always gives us a chance to rebuild, renew, and restore. That is the heart of this house. Don't come to Liberty Church if you just want to sit in a chair. It ain't going to work because God's going to challenge you. God is going to, we don't call Liberty just because it's a nice name on the tin. It is what God has placed over this house to renew, rebuild, and restore. And when you restore, it's not just to put it there nice again. It's to use it to inhabit, to work with, to be a part of again. It's no good just building a house and restoring and then saying, oh, that's nice from the outside. What really restores it is when we live in it. What really restores it when we operate it. Verse 12, here is the redemption moment. Here is the grace moment. And the angel of the Lord appeared, this is to Gideon, and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. What a moment. I know you've been disobedient. I know you've walked away. But in this moment, I am giving you the chance here to partner with me to change this whole deal, you mighty man of valor. It did not fit the description of a guy trying to hide, crushing something in a wine press that he shouldn't be doing. Sometimes we're in our weakest moments and God comes along and calls you out on that. Alexis, I'm going to tell you who you really are. You mighty woman and mighty man of valor. This is the moment. And then we start to have this debate with God that Gideon. Gideon said to him, oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, now he doesn't know who he's talking to right now. If the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles which our father told us about, saying, do not the Lord bring us from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of Midianites. He does not understand that God actually handed over aloud to bring back. And Gideon is part of this absolute redemption plan. Then the Lord turned to him and said, verse 14, go in this might of yours. That's a strange thing. The Lord didn't say, go in my might. He said, go in this might of yours. Gideon had some fight in him because he was prepared to give the verbal back to God, but on the wrong angle. We're sometimes prepared to give the verbal to God and to other people, and we use all that energy and all that effort and all that meditation because you've rehearsed it in your mind so much, and you give it back, and God says, I know you've got guts and courage. I just want you to switch where you're placing that guts and courage, and I want you to give it to me. Because when you switch it and you change it from where it is, actually, I'm going to use that to change something, not just you, but I'm actually going to change the people that are in your presence. This might of yours, there is fight in you. Okay, three amens. There is a fighter in you. Turn to the person next to you and say, I am Rocky in the spiritual sense. When Rocky 63 comes and we are in wheelchairs, we will still be there. Hey, Adrian, I'm coming. It's still going to happen. Still going to go. He'll be swinging when he's blind. We're still going to go at this. So he said, verse 15 to him, oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Here's the excuses. Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Right, stack up the problems. I can't. Willing to complain, but when presented with the opportunity, there's excuses. Why are we a people who, if God is for us, who can be against us? When he brings a challenge to us, we complain and find the excuses, but we're not willing to step into the challenge. What is going to go wrong except you succeed when you walk in the things of God? What's going to go wrong? If you walk in his word and the things that he's called you to walk in, what can go wrong? Well, you get a little bit hurt. You get a little bit bashed. Somebody's going to offend you. Somebody's not going to like you. That is not things going wrong. Those are just circumstances. Have in your heart the softness. Be like a peach inside. But some of us, we've got to be like a bit of a rhino on the outside. Let some things just bounce a little bit. Get a bit of, and I know we're all wired differently. Somebody comes and offends me with something they say, I'm like, okay, great, I move on. I'm like, that's nice for you, you know? Deal with what you got to say. Some other people that come to us, they say something, it really goes deep, doesn't it? It cuts because we're wired in different ways and we have to acknowledge that. But there is a fighter in you. And then verse 16, and the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. You want a word from the Lord, Gideon? Here's the word. Oh, Lord, I need a word. Well, here's the word. What is your circumstance that needs a word from God? You don't need a word to go and love people. You don't need a word to give a kind word to somebody else. You don't need a word to walk over and maybe pray for somebody. You don't need a word to love your wife well. Oh, Lord, give me another rhema because I'm just got to check. Do I need to love her? Oh, no, it's Sunday, not today. Awesome. I only work Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Do I need a word, Lord, to raise my kids well? No, I can just put them in front of the telly for the whole day. Awesome, great. Today's telly day. You know, we don't, some things we're like, but there are some circumstances we need a word of the Lord. Because it's bigger than you and it's bigger than me. And there's a bigger picture to this. You'll find your word sometimes just in the general day-to-day reading of your Bible. I was asking the Lord, Lord, is this right for Nepal? And he said in Psalms, I'll give you the nations. I'm like, okay. Are these the right people, Lord? You know what he said to me, for Dilip and his wife? Withdraw a little bit from them. I'm like, oh, no, Lord, I want them to feel okay. I feel responsible. I want to hug them. I want to make sure they know we're there. No, but I needed to know that regardless of whatever happened, was it in their hearts? Because there is a bit of a culture that exists of here comes the Western person and they're going to be the provision for the vision. No, what's in your hearts? And I'm like, Lord, no, I want to press in. He's like, no, stay away. Don't answer the text. Don't reply to those things. And in Dilip's heart, you know what dropped into his? Heath, I knew that regardless of whatever you do, we're still doing this thing. Even financially, regardless of whatever you do, Heath, we still have people that are gonna sow into us. We're not looking at Liberty Church for everything. Why? Because there's a word in his heart and a prophetic word confirmed, and he's got people praying for him, and the circumstances are lining up, and he's taking good counsel on these things. But we've often find our rhema words in the everyday of our logos words, just our reading, our meditating on his word day and night. Verse 17, then he said to him, if now I have found favor in your sight, Gideon's still going at it, then show me a sign. I love how gracious God is. Lord, give me a sign that it is you who talk to me. So basically they have this conversation, verse 17 through to sort of 20, 22, 23. And God goes, okay, you go and prepare the stuff. Gideon goes, prepare the stuff. He brings it back, puts it on the altar. And suddenly, boom, something happens on the altar. He's like, you've got your sign. Watch this in verse 22. Now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. Suddenly he wakes up. I'm just not talking to anybody here. I'm talking to God. Alas, O Lord God, for I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Then the Lord said to him, peace, this is the key, peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die. Who wants a word of the Lord from that when they're about to take on a whole thing? Yes! We are never dying in this situation. A little bit later, you still got to follow the instructions of the Lord because the Lord gave a promise to Moses and said, you'll see the promised land and you'll gave a promise to people who enter it, but they disobeyed. They absolutely disobeyed and they didn't get to walk into that. Gideon's altar, the most profound altar, was not the crush altar of Baal. And you can go home and read it in those verses I missed. It was not even the restored altar of Yahweh that he does. The most profound altar that took place in the moment was the altar of peace. Was the altar of peace. Then the Lord said to him in verse 23, peace be with you. The spiritual altar is established before the physical one. You won't function fully in your call if your peace with God is not built first. You won't, because you will do everything out of anxiety, everything out of uncomfortableness, everything out of, well, they're looking at me, I better do, or you won't do it because they're looking at me. And I better save face. You won't function fully in your call if your peace with God is not built first. Your inner healing comes first before your outer demonstration. God wants to do something in you, and then he wants to do it out of you. Do you know how many people come to the church, and you can see this stuff going on, and the first thing they want to do is, where can I serve? I'm all for serving, but what I'm really for is a transformed heart and things being dealt with inside, because that is going to make you a better person for you and to the body of Christ. But we serve. We never deal with what's actually going on. And you'll never clean it all up and do it all at once. So please don't try and get everything right. But where God highlights, you have a responsibility, and I have a responsibility to deal with that. The hardest part of leading church for me is not preaching. It's not having, look at this awesome worship team and all that. It's actually when God highlights things in my life and I've got to deal with it. Because honestly, if I don't, you will be an impoverished people. Because that's the pattern that God puts in place. So give me a bit of grace in those things. God establishes his peace in Gideon before any physical battle. Your flourishing does depend on that personal peace. Gideon didn't just rescue Israel, but he went on, if you carry on reading his scriptures, to be a man of peace. There is something in us that, oh God. And God said, the Bible says he places his peace in us. We cloud it around with all sorts of other things. Okay, get out of the way, get out of the way, get out of the way. I want to hear what you've got. I've got about 10 minutes. I've got about Turkish minutes. I'm thinking about another nation. Here we go. Oh, Lord, is there another word? Cease. Okay, who's going? Yes, Pete. Verse 33. Now all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east came together and they crossed the Jordan and encamped in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon and he sounded the trumpet and the Asherites were called out to follow him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh and they all too were called out to follow him. And he sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, and oh my gosh, these words are hard. And they went to meet him there as well. Watch this in verse 34. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon and then he blew the trumpet. And the Asherites gathered behind him. Honestly, there's a group of people and an army in front of him. The circumstances say, this is not good. But watch the circumstances stack the other way. God says to Gideon, I want you to grab an army together because we're going to go and take this. You're not dying and we're going to take this thing. How many people turn up to that party who are ready to back him? Almost 32,000. You know what? If 32,000 turned up to something, what would you think? We are definitely doing this thing. A crowd does not determine what you're called to do. Honestly. A crowd does not make a church. People with their hearts for God are the church. But suddenly there's all these people in front of them. There's thousands of people sitting there. Verse 36. So Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand as you've said, look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. He's still going, God, are we in this thing? Are we going to do this thing? There's 32,000 people stacked up. The guys are gathering. Just the thing on the fleece. I've heard so many Christians say, I'm going to lay a fleece before the Lord. Be careful. Often I see fleeces are laid once words have come. Not just, well, you know what? Because I think in our minds we can stack the odds in certain ways. He laid this fleece before the Lord. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand. I've had people come and say, Heath, I've had a word from somebody, and they say, I must definitely do what I'm called to do. And I say, great, can I hear the word? And I hear it, and I'm like, whoa, sheesh, you are grasping here. Because there's such a desire in us sometimes for something different to change, but we got to wait for the timing of God. Are you the right person? Is this the right place you're going to, coming to, going to dwell? And is this the right time? Three things we need to have a look at and answer. And so God does this thing with a fleece. In verse 39, then Gideon said to God, don't be angry with me, but I'm just going to ask you the same thing once more. Let my test, I pray, just once more with the fleece. Verse 39, let it be now on dry, only on the fleece. Let's switch this thing around, God. I mean, he was making sure. And God did so in that night, verse 40, it was dry on the fleece only, but there was dew on all the ground. Circumstances. Whole bunch of people ready to take a land. Gideon's talking to them. He thinks he's heard from God. He's going back and forth with that. And still he wants to check. Still he wants to check. The enemy can orchestrate circumstances. If I get enough money, then I'll give. If someone speaks to me today, then I'll know this is my church. If Heath asks me to serve, then I'll know I'm wanted. If all becomes circumstances, often not tested. It never builds anything or establishes anything. Circumstances are the last thing we want to be building our lives on. What's he saying? Because when the first negative comment comes about your circumstance, you're out of there. I'm done. I've had so many people come and say, I'm in this, I'm with you, we're going to do this journey in many areas of life. When I was a youth worker, when I've been in the church, we've gone different places and done stuff. And within 3 months, they've bailed. Rather, don't make the promise. Seek the Lord first. Chapter 7, and I will try and land this in a couple of minutes. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, that was his other name, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped besides the well of Harod. So the camp of the Midianites was to the north side of them by the hill of the Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, verse 2, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. Hang on, God. There's a lot of Midianites down there. They said that they littered the place like sand litters a seashore. We got 32,000. These are good odds. He said, but there's too many for me to give you this. Now, therefore, proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once. Can you imagine standing up and going, okay, who is scared? Who does not want to proclaim Jesus in our nation of Wales anymore? Who is scared that they're going to be taken out? Who doesn't want to go on this next journey? Okay, please stand. And 22,000 people stood. Oh, surely not, Lord. We don't need 32,000 people. We just need those in the room that need to be in the room. And 22,000 of the people returned and 10,000 remained. Obedience to his voice puts our reputation on the line. When we really called out on this thing, where are we going with it? But the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Whoa, hang on a second now. I know you said we're going to take this thing. I know you said I'm not going to die, but I don't mind if a few of these guys die. At least I'll be okay. You know, sacrifice for the cause. And he said, there's too many. Bring them down to the water and I will test them for you there. How on earth are you going to do this? Then it will be that of whom I say, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you. And whoever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, that's going to happen as well. So he brought them down to the water. Everyone who laps, verse 5, from the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets on his knees to drink. And the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300. Do you know what a great picture that of a vision? If you just go down there, and you can imagine the water, and they just stuck their head in and started to drink. Basically, God says, that's not the ones we need. We need the ones who go like this. Why? Because they're nourishing themselves while keeping their eyes on the vision. At any time, they could be attacked. We're not burying our head in the ground here. We still need to nourish, but we still need to keep our eyes on the prize of what is going to take place. Eyes on the vision. Verse 7, then the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men, we have just lost 31,700 people. This is not good. By the 300 men who have lapped, I will save you and deliver you into the hands of the Midianites. Just fast forward a little bit for verse 10, because I'm time sake. But if you are afraid, this is God being kind again. He's so kind. When we walk in obedience to him, he is kind. He reassures us. Do you know how many times, even on this liberty journey, I've had a word. I've heard God prophetically. There's other stuff that has come through. And I'm, God, you know what? I'm wobbling here a bit. He's like, listen to that again, listen again. I'm still wobbling. And then the kindness of God comes in and just reminds me through somebody else why we're called to do this. He says, but if you're afraid, go down to the camp with Purah, your servant, and you shall hear what they say. And afterward, by your hand, you shall be strengthened to go down against the camp. Then he went down with Purah, his servant, to the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp. Do you know what Purah means? To eat good fruit. His servant was going to lead him to a place where they were going to eat good fruit. They were going to receive something in this place. There is counsel. Who do you have around you that you know hears from God and will lead you to a place to eat good fruit? They'll steer you away from places that is not good fruit and steer you to places that are good fruit. If your only counsel is you, it's not enough. It really isn't enough. If your only counsel I would suggest to you is just, if you're married, it's just your husband and wife, I would say increase that. Increase that to another couple. Increase that as the man to another guy that you really feel hears from God. As a woman, do exactly the same. We need good counsel in our lives. Godly counsel in our lives. Watch this in verse 12. Here comes the prophetic moment. Now the Midianites and the Amalekites, all the people of the east, were laying in the valley as numerous as locusts. 300 locusts. Can you imagine that battle? And their camels were without number, as the sand by the seashore in the multitude. The circumstances are stacked. Don't live by circumstances. Verse 13, and when Gideon had come, there was a man, this is the enemy camp they're in, just remember that. There was a man telling a dream to his companion. He said, I have had a dream to my surprise. I didn't speak like that, but I have a dream to my surprise. A loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to the tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned and the tent collapsed. So you can imagine these two guys, well, we're going to attack those guys, we're going to take the ground. But I just had this dream. This is the enemy. Verse 14, then his companion answered and said, this is nothing less but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand, God has delivered the Midian and the whole camp. The enemy are prophetically declaring that they are about to be taken out. They walk in this camp and suddenly these two guys are on enemy side. They probably should have been watching. Oh, hang on. Are these Gideon and his mate? Are they really part of us? No. They are speaking. I had this dream and he's saying, guess what? That's Gideon and those guys over there. They're going to kill us all. Woohoo! Sometimes God will even use other people to remind you of what he's called you to do. What a place to get a prophetic word. What a place to get a reminder. God speaks through the rhema. His peace comes at the altar for Gideon. He gained counsel because he took his man with him and he spoke to the other leaders. The prophetic comes and God says, I will deliver you. I will save you. And by the way, as well, I'm going to use the enemy to remind you of that at the same time. The circumstance before him was 300 against absolute numerous. They saw the enemy. There were few of them. But still, after 7 years of oppression, they walked with the things of God. Gideon put the battle plan in place that God, and by the sword of the Lord and the sword of the Gideon, the Midianites were defeated. God wants to set you up for a win. Then he divided the 300 men, verse 16, to three companies, and he put a trumpet into every man's hand with empty pitchers and torches inside the pitchers, not even the right weapons. And he said to them, look at me and do likewise. Watch, and when I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do as I do. Then when I blow the trumpet, and I and all who are with me, then you will blow the trumpets in every side of the whole camp and say, the sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon. Five indicators. Why don't you go back there again, Joe, to that slide. A word from the Lord. I really believe this is a pertinent word from the Lord to us in this season. What has God spoken to you? If you don't open your Bible, you're not going to really know. Open the Word of God. Meditate it on a day and night. Don't jump. Scripture of the day is lovely. It's great. I love it. Pings in my inbox. Scripture of the day is not going to keep you. Scripture of the day might stir you, but I would say find the passage God is taking you to. Meditate. Wrestle with it. Wring it out. Be like Jacob. Wrestle with it. Because in there is a blessing from God. In there is a word from the Lord. It's not about how much you know. Oh, I know all these scriptures. Great. But do you really know them? Are they truth and revelation in your heart? What has God spoken to you prophetically? If you don't believe in the prophetic, well, I just want to encourage you to visit that again. Because we as a church do. We build on the apostolic and prophetic model. That's what we see. We love being a part of something that's bigger than us, who we team with. What's your heart peace? God, is there peace? You know, often I've gone against the peace of God because I don't want to be in certain circumstances. And I head over there and I get to another mountain and around I go again. And God's going, I love you so much, you're going to have to learn this thing, man. Do you know, I know people who've spent their whole life learning the same lesson. In plain English, that sucks. That really sucks. I don't want to do that. I want to build upon. I think the enemy comes just to distract. He's doing it to our nation right now, to the world. And we don't learn anything. You know, if we really learned all the stuff going on, we would get on our knees and pray. We would ask God what He thinks. Our government would be on their knees praying right now. We would. But right now there, we're the church. We're not peripheral to the world. The world is actually peripheral to the church. What are we saying, church? Peace in our hearts. Who's your counsel? I'm all for people talking, and I love the fact that we discuss. If you know what saddens me most? When somebody tells me what their decision already is. What am I going to do about it? Honestly. Well, they tell me to pray for their decision, that they want it blessed. Honestly, how can I bless something if it's not from God? Come on, let's get real. It doesn't work that way. I remember sitting with a church leader on a Skype once, and we sat with Mike. They were on the Skype. I was on the Skype. Mike was on the Skype. This is a guy, Mike, who's planted church after church and nation after nation. And this church leader never asked him one question. He told him what he was going to do. And at the end, Mike said, thank you so much. Skype ended. Church leader walked away and gone, wow, that was really great. You know, I have the approval. I said, you don't have the approval. You just told him what you're going to do. You didn't ask one question whatsoever. Why didn't you ask a question? Actually, I was afraid what he might say. Sometimes we've got to be a little bit afraid, and actually maybe there's going to be a shift and change. And sometimes we've got egg on our face, haven't we? Because we've told the world what we're going to do. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to... Bible actually says, don't declare those things. We're going to do this, and then suddenly, oh, we're not doing that. Do you know what gets ruined? Jesus' credibility and yours and mine. But I'm okay. I'd rather have egg on my face in a journey before I get to that point and turn back. I've had a lot of egg, and I'm still probably, I'll have some more egg, because I'll say things and go, oh no. And I have to come before you and apologize, maybe to the church. But circumstance is the last thing we build on. You know, when Peter stood at that boat and he asked Jesus, can I come? Jesus said, yeah, come. He didn't just do his own thing. We need to hear what God is saying, church. I will not be just another church on another block doing some nice things for God. I want to hear His voice. I want to walk in His ways. We will not build how we've seen before. I really feel we're building something in some senses we have never seen, but there is a blueprint in this thing called the Bible that He's placed in front of us on how to build. So it's not that it's never been done. It's been done, but it's never been done right now in what I see in the city that I dwell. That's not to say that's wrong and this is right. What I'm saying is what God has called us to build. And if we build something else, one day I know I will stand before God and I will have to answer for that, as long as I am part of this leadership team. My question to you is, what are the decisions that God is asking you to make that actually you still need a word from the Lord? You still need a prophetic word. You still need to come humbly. You still need to get good counsel, not to tell, but to ask. And there's this peace that needs to settle. Maybe today, those five things have confirmed it for you, and actually, I know God is saying. Or maybe today, you're thinking, I'm just going to wait. Waiting is not failure. It's wisdom. Waiting is just, whoa, let's just hold this a moment. We would have less incubators for people if we just waited for the right time to birth something. We would have less Ishmaels and muck to sort out if we just wait for the right time. Those of you who are single in this place and you're looking to marry, make sure. Wait. Just think through. Seek God. Ask wisdom. Because once you fall in love, the saying is, love is blind. You don't care what anybody says. You just like that. I got eyes for you and you only. Sometimes it works out. Sometimes it doesn't. You want to go to another nation? Ask God, because it's hard. You feel like God's calling you somewhere, I'll put you in touch with Keith and Mona. Speak to them what it's like to go to a nation that's tough. What's God stirring in your heart? Won't you stand with me? I apologize, I've been just a few more minutes, but that's okay. I know there was a lot in there in Gideon. You know what? We could have done it through other stories. Joshua. We could have walked through the New Testament with Jesus, how he did things. We could have gone on Peter's journey. We could have gone on Paul's journey. You can take those five things and unpack it in many people. I'm not saying all five things have to always be there, but there are certain ones. If you just build on circumstance, you're building on shaky ground. Absolute shaky ground. So maybe you today, you're like, yes, Lord. Things are lining up. I know. I am impatient. I want things. Let's have a problem, solve a problem, move on. Let's have an opportunity, do the opportunity, move on, because there's another one tomorrow. And God goes, wait. Pray the dangerous prayer. Lord, give me patience. Just pray it. You will be pushed to make decisions. You'll be like, no, I'm just going to wait. But while you stood there, I really felt in my heart, and I know, Phil, there are people who want to, they feel like God's asking them or stirring them to make a decision. Might be in your job that you feel like, there's a stirring. Don't just resign tomorrow. Walk out. That's it. I'm going by faith. If God's given you a word and you convert, fine. But don't just wait. Okay, Lord, what is it? Timing. Because suddenly you're living like, okay, wife, we're living by faith. You're going to go get a job though while I'm living by faith. And kids, you go to work as well. But me, I'm living by faith. It's just crazy. You know? But there are sometimes crazy things God calls us to do. There are like, whoa. But make sure it's God. If that's you this morning, and I know we prayed before, but I feel like I want to pray again. Won't you just raise your hand to the Lord, not to me, but just raise it. Say, Lord, I feel like there's decisions. And I feel like there's a stirring. But I need some of these things to line up. Father, I pray for everybody's hand that's raised this morning, that they're actually accountable before you. You're their God and they're your people. But Lord, I thank you for these five things that you just put in place to give us wisdom. Father, I thank you that in the process, you are making new wine in us. Because when we get there and we walk in your ways, there's going to be a flourishing for those around us and ourselves. Not this dry place. I thank you, Father, that these people with their hands raised will be like trees planted by the waters, that they will bear their fruit in season, but their leaves will always be present. That it'll almost be like, well, there's drought going around, but not right here. And this place, there's a constant refreshing. I want to pray for you today, and I'm not going to ask you to put up your hand on this. That maybe you've realized you've made some decisions and you may have some egg heading your way if you change this thing. 6 weeks ago, I had some egg. I tried to duck the egg and make excuses, but I needed to just face the egg. And it splattered. It was like, oh. Do you know what I did? I went to the Lord and just said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for just making these choices without consulting you. Lord, I lift all condemnation or shame off people this morning. And God, I thank you that they are your children. And I thank you, God, for a church and a heart of us as people, that there is no shame and no condemnation pointing fingers. That we actually stand alongside, we put our arms around and say, come on, I'm going to journey with you in this. It doesn't matter if there's a bitter egg. Let's wipe that egg off your face and let's press forward into the things of God. So I thank you for a spirit of acceptance and love, God. I thank you, Father, for a spirit of renewing and rebuilding and restoring, God. I thank you, God, for a spirit of celebration, that if we were in the muck, God, when we come out of the muck, that we will be a people who celebrate it, God. We won't be the other son, but we will be all those that party with the son who's come back. And I thank you, Jesus, that will build a healthy place. A healthy place. Maybe today you don't know Jesus, you want to give your life to him, or begin a journey with Him of knowing Him. If that's you, you think, Heath, I want to walk in things God has got for me, not just my own ideas. Why don't you just raise your hand and say, Heath, that's me. I want to just hand my life to Jesus this morning. Father, I thank You. That is the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. If that's you this morning and you were one of those people, you raised your hand, you just pray, God, I want You to come into my life. Jesus, I confess with my mouth that You did die for me, that You did rise from the dead, and that You love me. And I want to walk in Your ways, in Your paths. Help me from this day forward. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's just worship Him before we finish.